السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ خالد.
أبا يوسف سوري، I'm sorry I have internet issues so I just rectified it. Sorry please. Can we go with the class now? Hello?
Yes,
sir. Now we can go on, sir.
طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Our last discussions in our book Al-Adab al-Mufraj by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah was about At-Tahabbu bayna al-Nas. At-Tahabbu bayna al-Nas. Mutual understanding and love amongst the people. In that class, we had about three issues. We discussed the importance, the significance of At-Tahabbu bayna al-Nas. Mutual love and understanding amongst the Muslims. We discussed how important it is. We discussed asbabuhu, those things that bring about mutual love amongst the people. And from them was what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Afshu salama tahabu. Extend the salam, publicly announce the salam amongst yourselves. Tahabu. You will love yourself when you give assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Tahabu. You will love yourself. We also cite another example when he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not guide you to something that when you do it, you will love yourselves? He also said, أَبْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Give the salam. Say, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Say that amongst yourselves. We also recall that another thing he told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Tahadaw. Exchange gifts amongst yourselves. Give your brothers gifts. Give your sisters gifts amongst yourselves. Exchange gifts. He said, Tahabu. You would love yourselves. So from two major means of connection and mutual love and understanding amongst the people, amongst the Muslims, is making the taslims and gift exchange. And the third thing we discussed was about those things or the thing that destroys the mutual love amongst the people, and that is hatred. Al-Bughdah. Hatred destroys the people. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa iyyakum wal-Bughdah. I want you to be cautious to avoid al-bughdah. Al-bughdah is hatred. You hate yourself. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّهَا هِيَ الْحَالِقَةُ. Because the hatred is the destroyer. The hatred is the nullifier. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْرَ. I am not talking about al-haliqa. Because al-haliqa literally could mean the razor, the blade with which we shave. You know what it does to the hairs? It removes the hairs. So he says, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about al-haliq in terms of shaving. What I'm talking about is that walakin tahliqu al-deen. What I'm rather talking about is that al-bughdatu tahliqu al-deen. When you hate yourself, you will destroy and nullify your deen. So that is the evil effect of the absence of mutual love and understanding amongst the people. The their deen will be destroyed. It's in a gradual process, gradual, quick process. It will gradually just go in to destroy the people. When they hate themselves, they will not be able to observe Khamsu Salawat together. Even during Taswiyat to Suhuf, when there is supposed to be At-Taraf. At-Taraf is when the heels of the feet of both people, the heel, your heel touches the heel of the next person standing behind you, and you connect your legs so much that even the sides of your knees are touching themselves. This is At-Taraf, connecting yourselves and standing together, such that there is no space that occurs in between the two when you observe Salah. When there is Al-Bughdha, you cannot do this. I have seen this. When there is Bughdha, you're not able to make At-Taraf. Your Sufuf will not stand together. And the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, what happens when the Sufuf, when the rows are not connected. The shaitan comes in between the people. So that one continues to expand the already destroyed relationship amongst the people. Shaitan comes and begins to cause more problems amongst the people. So when there is al-bughdha, when there is hatred amongst Muslims, instead of mutual understanding and love, they cannot observe the Salah together. It will be difficult for them to observe the communal worship together, including fasting, including sadaqah. If you have sadaqah with you to give, whether the obligatory sadaqah or recommended sadaqah, and the one you want to give is a person who hates you, he may not be willing to accept from you. So, no, jazakallah khair. Oh, no, thank you, I'm okay. Oh, no, we are okay, thank you, jazakallah khair. Meanwhile, he needs that thing, but because of hate for you, because when a person hates the other person, he may not like to accept something from him. When he hates him, he may not accept something from him. He may not. He may also, but he may not accept it. So when you have zakah, you can't find someone who will accept something because they hate you. How is that? So it will affect many other things in the community. Your children will not be able to play together. They can't talk together. You can't teach in a class because the teacher is already a hated person, and so on. You can't build a masjid, because to build a masjid, you need to come together to put resources together. You hate yourself, so you cannot do anything. Gradually, your deen will wane away. You can't even observe Salah to the hated together. Why? You don't want to see Mr. A does not want to see you because he hates you. So that's how the disconnection happens. And then the deen of the people becomes weakened because the communal acts of worship will be difficult when the people do not mutually understand and love themselves. So at tahabbu bayna al-muslimin, mutual love amongst the Muslims is something that's so significant, and it's so connected to their religion. The next chapter we'll be discussing is Babul Ulfa. The chapter about al-ulfa, being oneness. The chapter about oneness. The chapter about friendliness. The chapter regarding affection amongst two Muslims. One Muslim loves another Muslim. He understands him. After they are able to exchange mutual love amongst themselves, then there will be al-ulfa. At that time, there will be friendliness. What huge effects will they gain from this friendliness? They'll be friendly, they can observe Salah together. The other one does not find him in Salah to Fajr. He comes to his house. Ah, my brother, we didn't find you in Fajr. Are you okay? Is the home okay? And so on and so forth. So the community will be a community of Muslims. If they are able to mutually understand themselves, then friendliness and ulfa will grow amongst them. If they are able to mutually understand themselves and love themselves, then al-ulfa, friendliness, affection, they would have inclinations towards themselves. When one of them is sick, the other one too feels concern, genuine concern. I say genuine concern because Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, we shall come back to that, bi-ibnillah. He said sometimes some of the people are ikhwanul alaniya. Ikhwanul alaniya a'da'us sarira. He said some of the people will be ikhwan alaniyatan. They are brothers. When you find them in the public, you see them smiling. This is very, very common too. Hayakallah, hayakallah, hayakallah. You see them saying this. But a'da'us sarira. And their minds, in the deepest aspects of their minds, they are enemies towards themselves. So unfortunately, being groups of Muslims were fulfilling what Allah had said about the non-Muslims, the Jews especially, that ba'suhum bainahum shadi, ta'sabuhum jamia. You are the one who thinks that they are together, but in their hearts, kulubuhum shatta. Allah makes us understand that they hate themselves. Why? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُمْ. Because they are a group of people who have a lack and understanding of the deen. So when you find amongst Muslims that there is atanakuru, mutual distrust, mutual hatred, mutual disconnection amongst them, atanakur, even though we come back to that, that's also one of the signs of the last hour. There will be atanakuru bainanas, mutual disconnection. This one does not want to have anything to do with this one. This one does not want to have anything to do with this one. One of the signs of the last hour. Two Muslims will not want to have anything to do with themselves. Two Muslims. They will hate themselves so much that they don't want to have anything to do. This one does not have anything. Does not want to have anything to do with this one. This one does not want to have anything to do with this one. So the Iznillah today will be discussing Al-Ulfa. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has placed the hadith under hadith 262. In it he said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Ahmad ibn Asir, Qala Haddathana Sa'ir ibn Ufair, Qala Haddathani ibn Wahb, An Haywa ibn Shuraih, An Haywa ibn Shuraih, An Darraj, An Isa ibn Hilal, لا يلتقيان في مصيرة يوم وما رأى أحدهما صاحبه. الإمام البخاري said رحمه الله حدثنا أحمد بن عاصف قال حدثنا سعيد بن عفير قال حدثنا ابن وهب عن حيوة بن شريح عن دراج عن عيسى بن هلال الصدفي عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إن روح المؤمنين ليلتقيان في مصيرة يوم وما رأى أحدهما صاحبه. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith from his Sheikh Ahmad ibn Asr, and that is Abu Muhammad al-Balkhi. Ahmad ibn Asim, he is al-Imam Abu Muhammad Ahmad ibn Asim al-Balkhi. He is Ahmad ibn Asim Abu Muhammad al-Balkhi from Balkh. Balkh today is in present day Afghanistan. Balkh. So he is Ahmad ibn Asim, and he is reporting from Sa'id ibn Ufair. The rest of those in this isnad are from the scholars of Misr. So this hadith, if you say sanaduhu misriyun, you have not heard sanaduhu misriyun, because apart from Ahmad ibn Asim al-Balkhi, the rest of those in the chain of report are from the scholars of Misr. So this sanad is misriyun. Our Misriyul Asr, the foundation, the source of this isnad is from Misr. So he said, Ahmad ibn Asim said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Sa'id ibn Ufair. Sa'id ibn Ufair has been ascribed to his grandfather. I think we have mentioned this a number of times. A man's name is Abdullah. His father's name is Abdurrahman. His grandfather's name is Abdurrahim. He may be called Abdullah ibn Abdurrahim. He may be ascribed to his grandfather. That's lawful in Islam. So this Shaykh Sa'id ibn Ufayr, he is ascribed to his father, to his grandfather. Ufayr is his grandfather. Otherwise, his father is Kasir. So he is Sa'id ibn Kasir ibn Ufayr. Sa'id ibn Kasir ibn Ufayr al-Misri. Sa'id ibn Kasir ibn Ufayr, he is al-Misri, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathani ibn Wahab. Ibn Wahab is that foremost student of al-Imam Malik. That is Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Misri, rahimahullah. You can see they are from the scholars of Misra. Sa'id ibn Ufayr, he is al-Misri. Abdullah ibn Wahab, he is al-Misri. Haywa ibn Shuraih, his teacher, the teacher of Abdullah ibn Wahab in this hadith, is Haywa ibn Shuraih. Haywa ibn Shuraih, he is Abu Zur'a al-Misri. He is also Misri. Haywa ibn Shuraih. Haywa ibn Shuraih, the ulama speak about him, rahimahullah. They say, Kana lahu ibadatun wa fadlun. Haywa ibn Shuraih. Kana lahu ibadatun wa fadlun. He was a person of ibadah. He was a person of ardent worship to Allah. He was a devoted worshipper. Rahimahullah wa fadl. And he was a noble person amongst the people. So you can see, he probably succeeded in both spheres. Regarding his dealings with Allah, kan abidah. Regarding his dealings with the people, kan fadilah. Regarding his dealings with Allah, he was a devoted worshipper. And regarding his dealings with the people, he was a noble person. It's usually difficult to pass in both spheres. So Haywa ibn Shuraih kana abidan fadila, and his student Abdullah ibn Wahab. Abdullah ibn Wahab was also a very learned person from amongst the students of Al-Imam Malik. We remember that he has a report of Muwatta. So Abdullah ibn Wahab, the student of Haywa ibn Shuraih, he says, ما رأيت أحدا أشد استخفافا بعمله منه. ما رأيت أحدا أشد استخفافا بعمله منه. I have not seen anyone أشد استخفافا بعمله منه, who takes lightly his good deeds, like Haywa ibn Shuraih. As much as he gave worship and as much as he was noble amongst the people, he did not use to talk big about what he does. This is one sickness of the people in our own times. Someone does little, but he talks big of the little. Some of the people would not even do at all, but they come to talk big about doing nothing. Yuriduna an yuhmadu bima lam yaf'al. They like to be praised for something that they have not done. This is the generation that we are. We are in a generation where someone hardly woke up for Qiyamul Layl. Talibul Ilm, he will sleep between Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr. No Qiyamul Layl, no Witr, nothing. No Tasbihat, no Azkar in the night, no Sujood for Allah. Yet he comes on the social media, he's a fadila to Shaykh. But that's for Haywa ibn Shuraih. Apart from his being known with ibadah, apart from his being known with fadl, being a noble person amongst the people, Abdullah ibn Wahab said, Ma ra'aytu ahadan ashadda istighfafan bi'amalihi minhu. I have not found anyone whose huge deeds he takes it as small. That is from the aspects of his humility before Allah and his humbleness before the people. He was a person who was humble before Allah, and he was a person who was humble amongst the people. That is from the physical manifestations of ikhlas. From the physical manifestations of ikhlas in a person's worship is that he does not blow his own trumpet. You never see him blowing his own trumpet. In our own times, people blow trumpets over nothing. May Allah protect us. The last thing of the life Noah have said about him is that وَكَانَ يُعْرَفُ بِالْعِبَادَةِ. He was well known with worship. He was well known. He worshipped Allah a lot. حَيْوَى إِبْنَ شُرَيْحِ. So Abdullah ibn Wahab has reported this hadith from his shaykh, Haywa ibn Shuraih. And Haywa ibn Shuraih is reporting from Darraj. Darraj, he is Darraj ibn Sam'an. Darraj ibn Sam'an Abu Samh. Darraj ibn Sam'an Abu Samh al-Misri. He is Darraj ibn Sam'an Abu Samh al-Misri. So you can see Tafalsul al-Musriyin in this isnad. And he is reporting from Isa ibn Hilal al-Sadafi. Isa ibn Hilal al-Sadafi was also al-Misri. So he is Isa ibn Hilal al-Misri. So from Sa'id ibn Ufair al-Misri. We have Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Misri. We have Haywa ibn Shuraih al-Misri. We have Darraj ibn Sam'an al-Misri. We have Isa ibn Hilal al-Misri. And then the hadith has come from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhu, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and son of eminent companion. Abdullah was an eminent companion. He used to document the statements of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Whatever he heard the Prophet say, he wrote it down. Radiyallahu anhu, because he was from amongst those whose father, Amr ibn al-As, was very exposed amongst the Arabs at the time. Amr ibn al-As was a very exposed and civilized person. He had taught his children reading and writing. So when the Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, Amr ibn Abdullah, his son, had accepted Islam far earlier than his father. In fact, his father accepted Islam about 3 years before the Prophet passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam. But as for the son, Abdullah, Allah had guided him to Islam at the very early times in Mecca. So he used to write down whatever the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Abdullah. So that was Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhu. He is the one reporting from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he said, inna ruha al-mu'mineh. In some reports, in some texts, you will find it that they say, inna ruhay al-mu'mineh. Yet in some reports, you will find it as inna arwah al-mu'mini. So it says inna ruh al-mu'mini. Ruh al-mu'mini, the souls of two Muslims. Or you can find it as ruhay al-mu'mini, the two souls of two Muslims. You can also find it as inna arwah al-mu'mini. Arwah al-mu'mini, that is the report that occurs in Tahzib al-Kamal by Hafiz Jamaluddin al-Mizzi. He reports it as arwah al-mu'minin, the souls of the believers, the souls of the people of Iman. In Al-Adab al-Mufrad, we find it as inna ruh al-mu'minin. But if I remember vividly, in the copy of Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, it occurs as inna ruhay al-mu'minin, ruhay al-mu'minin. What it means is that the souls of two people who truly believe in Allah. If you find people of Iman, you will find what we want to talk about now. If you find people, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ, that Allah has written Iman in their hearts, from the symbols of the Iman in their hearts is what we'll talk about. So it means friendliness amongst Muslims. When you have a Muslim and you are friendly with your brother, you are inclined towards him, you have strong affection for him or for her, as the case may be amongst the women. That is from the symbols of Iman. From the symbols of Iman is love for the people of Iman. From the symbols of Iman is affection for the people of Iman. For the people of Iman, because of Iman. For the people of Islam, because of Islam. You love a person because this person, you can find that it appears that he loves Allah and his messenger. You love a person because you can find that this person, he likes the deen. is passionate about his deen. So for his passion because of Islam, for his love of Islam that Allah has made to become manifest, then you love him. You have an affection for him because of Iman. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, inna ruha al-mu'minin, the souls of two believing people, when people have Iman, these things will be happening amongst their souls. What is that that will happen amongst their souls? لَيَلْتَقِيَانِ فِي مَصِيرَةِ يَوْمِ. The time that it takes to travel a journey of a day, in the past, let's say, if you want to travel from Lagos to Ibadan, in the past, when there were no vehicles, you could trek a whole day. You could trek the whole day to travel from Lagos to Ibadan. Today, we take that journey perhaps in 1 hour. Good drive. 1 hour, 15 minutes. If you are not so speedy like me, 1 hour, 30 minutes. You are there. But if you are also speedy, sometimes like some of your brothers, in 45, 50 minutes, you are there between Ibadan and Lagos. So the time that it takes for the journey of a day, the souls of the two believing people will connect. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ruha al-mu'minayn la yaltaqiyani fi masirati yawm. The souls of two believing people, two people of Iman, who have loved themselves for the sake of Iman, their souls, their spirit would connect for over a period of a day's journey. So the time that it takes to spend on a day's journey, for that period, your minds were together. He's thinking, where is my brother? This brother is probably reading now. He's probably studying now. He's probably writing a book. He's probably giving a talk. He's probably doing an adhkar. He too is thinking, oh, my brother, he's somewhere. He's probably talking to his family. He's probably connecting between two Muslims in field. Or he's probably teaching in a class. Or he's probably observing Qiyamul Layl. Or he's probably making sujood. So the two of them, their minds are connected together. And this happens as a result of Iman in the hearts of the people. And the love that they have amongst themselves, the affection that they have for themselves, and the inclination they have towards themselves because of what? Iman. Iman gives birth to this kind of thinking amongst two people. And that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that al-arwahu junudun mujannada, the souls of people, the souls of the human beings, they are like junud. They are in groups. They are gathered in groups. They are in groups. The ulama said the souls of the people of Iman are connected to themselves. The people of Iman, their hearts are connected together. You would have been, perhaps in the days as an undergraduate in the university, you would have been with some brothers that whose deen got you very impressed. You liked their religion. They liked your religion. You were very close friends. In fact, like two brothers who have come from the same womb, what has connected you is Iman. So you are together, you are thinking about yourself, even if you may not have seen yourself for 2 to 3 decades. For 20 years, you may not have seen yourself. But there is no day that goes except that, I remember brother so. He used to call the adhan. He used to make the adhan, the call to prayer. Oh, when he makes the qama. Oh, when he leads us in salah. Oh, when he teaches us adhkar. Oh, when he teaches us in the Quranic class. Oh, when he gives a lecture. Oh, when he encouraged us to do a community job. But when he did this, so your mind is still connected to him because of Iman, because of the deeds of Iman. And perhaps all of that contributed to your own Iman. Meanwhile, as you do that, he was also thinking, oh, this brother, I wish that I can find him again. I wish that I can connect with him. I wish that I can find him. This connection. Your mind is connected to his mind. His mind is connected to your mind. And there is nothing that is the platform, the playing ground for that connection, except what? Iman and the things of Iman. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ruha al-mu'minayni la yaltaqiyani fi masirati yawmi. The souls, the two souls of two Muslims, la yaltaqiyani, these two souls will connect. they will become inclined towards one another. The two souls will connect. The souls of the people of Iman, for a period of the journey of a day, وَمَا رَأَى أَحَدُهُمَا صَاحِبًا, and no one amongst the two of them had seen the other one. Did not see themselves, but their souls are in connection. This relates to a dream one of the companions, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, likewise Al-Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, reported a hadith. And Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani rates that hadith to be authentic in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahihah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Khuzaima ibn Thabit is the name of the companion. Khuzaima ibn Thabit. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Ra'aytu fil manami ka'anni asjudu ala jabhati Rasulullah. Ra'aytu fil manami ka'anni asjudu ala jabhati Rasulullah. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Khuzaima ibn Thabit. Rahimahullah, or radiyallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet to narrate a dream that he had. It was a common thing amongst the companions. When they had a dream, they came to the Prophet to ask for the meaning of the dream. We remember the dream about the Adhan. We remember the dream of Abdullah ibn Umar. He asked Allah, he said, Allah, show me who I am. I want to see my status, who I am, before you tell me. Let me see what's my status. Give me an impression of who I am, Ibn Umar. And if you go to the books of hadith, you'll always see Kitabu al-Ahlam wal-Manam wal-Manamat, Kitabu al-Ahlam, Tafsir al-Ahlam, the dreams that the Muslims used to have in the past. It was very important. An entire surah in the Quran is based on dreams. And that is Surah to Yusuf. And but today, the Muslims, we don't pay attention to our dreams again. Even those who make efforts upon the path of knowledge are largely ignorant about this aspect. And it's a whole aspect of knowledge. Dreams and understanding dreams. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it was reported that sometimes after Salatul Fajr and sometimes after Salatul Asr, he will say, Man ra'a minkum shay'an falyukhbirna. Who is it amongst you that had seen anything in his dream? Let him tell it to us. So the companions, the Prophet used to ask them, who had had a dream amongst us? So having a dream was something that was common in the Ummah, and it is still common today, but the people are careless about the dreams and how we handle dreams. This companion, Khuzaima ibn Thabit, he said, radiyallahu anhu, ra'aytu fil manami ka'anni asjudu ala jabhati Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw in my dream as if I was prostrating on the head of the Prophet Muhammad, Jabha, on the forehead of the Prophet, alayhi salam. I saw in my dream as if when I prostrated, my head, my nose went upon the head and the nose of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, فَأَخْبَرْتُ بِذَلِكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So I told that dream to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, inna ruh la talqa ruh, inna ruh la talqa ruh, a soul would meet another soul. One soul, the soul of a person of iman, will connect with another soul of the person of iman. And from this hadith, it means that connection, because of iman, one of the places where it happens is during dreams. I have seen this a lot. Many of the brothers that we had shared time together as young people trying to learn Islam and practice Islam, wallahi, many times you have dreams about them. Dreams you were in a class, dreams you went for a lecture, dreams you were in a program, dreams you were reading a book, dreams you were studying something, dreams. Very good dreams about the brothers that we had spent time together. Very, very good dreams. And perhaps we had not seen ourselves for 20 years, 25 years. You just see the brother in the dream. Maybe doing one thing that you both used to do together, which was from the things of Iman and Islam. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Khuzaima ibn Thabit, inna ruh لتلقى الروح. The soul would meet with other souls. The soul would meet with other souls. And then he said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, اجلس واسجد واصنع كما رأيت. اجلس واسجد واصنع كما رأيت. So sit down, the Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So sit down, oh Khuzaima. اجلس واسجد. I have come and prostrate on my forehead. Prostrating on his forehead means that connecting his forehead, where we put on the sujood, with the upper part of the nose to that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this. How is it like? Said, I had seen in my dream that when I prostrated, sajadtu ala jabahati rasulillah, I prostrated upon the forehead of the Prophet Muhammad. He told the dream to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said that is from the aspects of the connection between souls. I have come and do it. Come on. Come and prostrate. Sit down. Ijlis. Wasjud. Wasna'a kama ra'ayt. Sit down. Wasjud. And make the prostration. Put your head on it. Wasna'a kama ra'ayt. And do as you have seen in your dream. The point of reference here, ikhwa, is that inna ruh, the souls, they connect. The souls of the people of Iman, they connect because of Iman and upon the things of Iman, such that even if you had not seen the person for a long time, your mind will still be connected to that person. And that is from the symbols of Iman. From the symbols of Iman is the friendliness you find amongst the Muslims. From the things of Iman is the affection you find amongst the Muslims. From the things of Iman is the inclination towards one another. His mind is with him. His mind is with him. They are together in their mind. He's thinking about him. The other brother is thinking about him too. This one happens among sisters too. It happens amongst women. People are connected by Iman. And by that, their hearts, their souls will connect also. So let us take this for a fact that from the things that happen to the people of Iman is that Allah makes their souls to connect. We are not talking about one dead person and the one who is alive. That is another form of connection. Because those who are alive, we can sleep and have a dream and see the people that we had known. This is also known in the Ummah bil Ijma'. And the scholars who are authorities in the sciences of interpreting dreams, they say that the condition in which you find a person in the dream, that is the condition that that person is. That the dreams about people who have passed away, who have died, their dreams regarding them are hardly lies. When you see a man in his dream, unless Shaitan has come in his feature, that's another thing that can happen. Shaitan can take up the feature, the look of a person to appear to you in the dream, and that person had died. But if over verification it was certain that that's not from Shaitan, it is not from the aspects of the dream from Shaitan, you will see those persons, and what you see of them is their actual condition. This has this. There's ijma in this ummah regarding this. The ulama have had this experience. They used to find, they used to see their teachers, they used to see the companions, they used to see the tabi'un. The atba'u tabi'un used to see the tabi'un. Some of the companions used to see the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Because they had known him, they had been upon iman with him, and their souls loved him and were connected to him. So they saw him repeatedly alayhi salatu wasalam. So there are so many ways that the souls meet. So for this time, all we are talking about is the people of Iman. And while we are awake, you will be awake. You will be thinking, oh, this brother is probably studying now. He's probably reading now. He's probably sleeping now. He's probably writing a book now. He's probably on a journey traveling now. He's probably talking to his family now. 2 days ago, I was thinking that a brother probably had a child. He called me the next morning and said that he had a child. I was just thinking, this brother, maybe he will have a child now. The next morning, he called me that he had a child. So this kind of a thing happens among people. You'll be thinking, ah, so person, maybe he may be somewhere. And then he's there. Why? It is not because you just think that he's there. Your souls connect, especially if your dealings and your relationship are the dealings that are genuinely upon the dealings of Iman and Islam, you find this kind of a thing a lot amongst the people. This kind of a thing is called al-ulfa, affection, friendliness, togetherness, connection, the connection, deep-rooted connection amongst the people of Iman that results from Iman. Now, this hadith that we have read, perhaps you will find that some of the scholars say that hadith is weak, but what is correct, and Allah knows best, is that the hadith is authentic. From among those who said that it is weak was Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah. He mentioned that in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Da'ifa wal-Mawdu'a. But what, bismillah, if we go back to, I hope that one or two questions will come around this at question time, and we can explain that what is correct and Allah knows best is that this hadith is sound. There are two reporters that have been criticized in this report. The first of them is Darraj ibn Sam'an. Darraj ibn Sam'an, I hope we can postpone this discussion to sometimes other than this. Darraj ibn Sam'an, Al-Imam Al-Albani also reversed, I think we should have that in mind, reversed his ruling regarding Darraj. He used to consider Darraj as a weak reporter and that the entirety of his reports were weak. But he changed that view, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Al-Albani changed that view before he passed away. So we can go back to Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud, the one that occurs in 12 volumes. We will find that change of view regarding that. Darraj ibn Sam'an has also been graded a seeker, a reliable report of hadith by Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in and Al-Imam Abu Abdullah ibn Adi, the author of Al-Kamilu fi Du'afa. That is regarding Darraj. The second person that has been criticized in the isnad is Isa ibn Hilal al-Sadafi. Isa ibn Hilal al-Sadafi, Al-Imam ibn Hibban mentioned him to be a reliable reporter in al-Sikat. And Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, mentioned him to be Saduq. Reporters like this, more so that there are no clear-cut specific criticisms, reasons for criticisms, that has been mentioned regarding Isa ibn Hilal. So the least grade of his reports will be Hassan. So bismillah, this hadith is Hassan and not Da'if. The Prophet said in it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ruha al-mu'minayn, the two souls or the soul of two believing people, two amongst the people of Iman, their souls, la yaltaqiyani fi masirati yawm, their souls would have been connected over the period of a distance of a day's journey. وَمَا رَأَى أَحَدُهُمَا صَاحِبًا, and no one amongst the two of them had seen themselves, but for a period, their minds had been connected to one another. I hope that hadith is clear. From the manifestations of Iman, it is the ulfa, the friendliness that happens amongst the people of Iman. In hadith 262, الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد قال حدثنا سفيان عن إبراهيم بن ميسرة عن طاووس عن ابن عباس قال النعم تكفر والرحم تقطع ولم نر مثل تقارب القلوب. عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما, النعم تكفر والرحم تقطع ولم نر مثل تقارب القلوب. الإمام البخاري reported that hadith from his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Muhammad, who was reporting from Al-Imam Sufyan, from Ibrahim ibn Maysara. Ibrahim ibn Maysara is al-Ta'ifi, and Tawus ibn Kaysan Al-Yamani. Tawus ibn Qaysan was from among the scholars of Yemen, and he was well known from among the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And here his hadith is from his teacher, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, who said that al-ni'amu tukhfar wal-rahimu tukhta walam nara misla taqaru bil-kulub. Al-ni'am tukhfar, favors, tukfa, may be paid back with ingratitude. Favors may be paid back with ingratitude. An-ni'amu tukfar. Kufran. Kufru ni'ma is ingratitude regarding a favor. The ingratitude may be regarding a favor that Allah alone has showed on us. So you find the people, Allah has created them, human beings. He gave them eyes. He gave them ears. He gave them the mouth. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he placed in their mouth a set of teeth so that they can chew their meals. He placed in their mouth a piece of tongue so that they can taste their meals. They can differentiate between sweet and sour. They can differentiate between salty and sugary. He gave them the entirety of the mouth. He gave them the enzymes that will come to help them during mastication when they chew food in their mouth. He gave them nostrils. He did not place a fractional distillating column in the nose before he places oxygen, allows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he allows oxygen to go into their nose. He gave them two ears. He gave them two hands, the fingers, the fingernails, and so on and so forth. The digestive system and everything that Allah has blessed mankind with. Yet the people disobey Allah and direct worship to other than Allah. This is from the aspects of kufru ni'mah, being showing ingratitude to favors. Allah has favored people. Some of the people, Allah made them to become rich. They spend that richness upon acts of disobedience to Allah. Allah has made them rich. It is with that richness that they disobey Allah. Allah favored you with a car. It is with that car that you are disobeying Allah. Allah favored you with a house. It is with that house that you disobey Allah. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, rahimahullah, an-ni'ami tukfar. Favors will be played back, will be shown with what? Ingratitude. People, you will see people with ingratitudes of different sorts. And the ingratitude may be regarding a human being that has shown you favor. It may be a favor that is shown to you directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the favor of life. Nobody else could have given you that. The favor of being able to take in oxygen. Nobody could have given you that favor. And then you worship other than Allah with the favor that Allah has granted to you. This is ingratitude. The other aspect of the ingratitude is regarding the favors that it is human beings that showed you that favor. Your brother gave you something to use. And then, like the Arabs will say, kam allamtu rimaya. How long? For how many times was I teaching him how to fire an arrow? Falamma stadda sa'iduhu ramani. When he became perfect about being able to reach his target when he shot an arrow, ramani, I was the first person that he fired the arrow at. May Allah protect us. This is common amongst the people. You give a man a stick to beat down leaves and foliage for his animals, and he hit your head first with the stick. You are the one who benefited him with the stick. And the first show of ingratitude is to use that stick against you. This is very common. You gave someone, you showed Allah through you favored him. You are the first person to suffer from the consequence of that favor that he has received instead of him being gracious to you, showing gratitude to you. What he shows to you is ingratitude. A woman has her husband with her. He brought her to the house. He kept her under his canopy. He provides her clothes, provides her food, runs around to make sure that the family is stable and that things go well in the family. And then the woman begins to pay him back with insults. You are stupid. You are foolish. You are this. What have you done? Go and see what the rest of your friends are doing to their wives. He begins to insult the man after all the graciousness that he has shown to you. So ingratitude manifests in many ways. Sometimes it is the other way. A man has a wife that is obedient to him, A man has a wife that is listening. A man has a wife that's ready to go with him in whatever circumstance that Allah has placed. Then the man begins to show violence against her, beat her, you know, and all that. There are men like this. We hear a lot of things by the day. So there is none of these that is love. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhu, an-ni'amu tukfa wal-rahimu tukta ar-rahimu. Ar-rahim tukta, the ties of kinship. Ar-rahim actually refers to the womb. Literally, ar-rahim refers to what? The womb. So ar-rahim tukta, it does not mean that the womb is cut. What it refers to is that the ties of kinship, people will be disconnecting the ties of kinship. Easily, you find all of this. You find people showing ingratitude when they receive goodness from people, when they receive goodness and favors from Allah. You will easily see ingratitude. You see it with people. Another thing you will commonly find with people is that they will be disconnecting their family ties. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhu, and that's the point of reference in this hadith today. He said, وَلَمْ نَرَى مِثْلَ تَقَارُبِ الْقُلُوبِ لَمْ نَرَى مِثْلَ تَقَارُبِ الْقُلُوبِ. We have not found anything as brilliant, as nice, as interesting, like what? تَقَارُبُ الْقُلُوبِ. تَقَارُبُ الْقُلُوبِ is when the hearts are connected together. There is nothing like it. When the hearts are connected together, you find the wife being showing gratitude to the husband. You find the husband showing gratitude to the wife. You find a brother showing gratitude to his fellow brother. Upon the list of favor, maybe you just help him to lift something from a part of the house to another part of the house. Maybe one of the brothers wanted to dry his clothes. He was sent on an errand. Another one carries the bucket of the clothes that had been washed, and he helped him to dry it. When his brother came back, he saw that his other brother had helped him. He showed him, Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu fik, I'm so happy, Jazakallahu khairan. Things like this, is there anything like it? When there is taqarubul qulub, the family ties are connected. People will show gratitude easily. When there is taqarubul qulub, that when their minds are inclined towards themselves, when the hearts are friendly towards themselves, when the hearts have affection towards themselves. When the hearts have affection towards themselves, you can go to his house and say, hey, what do you have? I'd like to eat something. And quickly, you see the women start running about. Let me quickly prepare something. What will you like? What's the fastest thing you can eat? This will only happen when there is love. This will only happen when there is friendliness. This will only happen when there is taqarubul qulub, affection amongst the souls, amongst the hearts, when the souls are together. You can come, I remember vividly this happens amongst the people of Iman. When we're younger than this, in higher institutions, you see brothers carrying food from one part of the hotel to the other. I want to go and give brother so-so. I want to go and give sister so-so. I want to go and give. Please help us give it to our imam. Please help us give it to our muazzin. All these kinds of things have gone now because there is al-wahsha, there is at-tanakur, there is mutual disconnection amongst the Muslims. Yes, you can have 1,000 friends. You can have 2,000 friends on your social media platform. But it remains to find one true one amongst them, amongst the 1,000. It remains to find one true one. One that is true in his friendship to you. Umar radiallahu anhu said, what will be common in the end times, radiallahu anhu, is what? Ikhwanu alaniya. Ikhwanu alaniya. Friends in the open, but a'da'u as-sarira. But enemies in the secret, when the chiefs are down, it will be clear to you that those two people you are seeing, saying hayakallah, hayakallah, they are really enemies to themselves. May Allah protect us. So Abdullah ibn Abbas said in this hadith that an-ni'ami tukfa, people will be showing ingratitude to favors that are granted to them. Wa-rahimu tukta, you will be finding family ties being disconnected. ولم نرى مثل تقارب القلوب. But we have not seen anything as beneficial like when the hearts are together, when the minds are together, when the hearts are connected. Family ties will be connected, and then gratitude will be shown. There is nothing like that. Hearts are connected. Hearts are connected. They love themselves. Even when they offend themselves, affection does not make you consider someone you love that he has offended you. If you really love somebody, like the Arabs say, your eyes become blind to his misdeeds. If you really love somebody, you have strong affection for him, of course, because of Iman. When he does something, you find excuses for him. But when he has not even done anything, you are accusing him, it is because of atanaku, disaffection. Check your hands. Just check the hands. You find that there is disconnection, something is wrong somewhere. That's why there is no connection. Even upon what he has not done, you're already thinking that he has done it, and you are relating with him upon that he has done that. Because there is no mutual connection upon Iman. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, lam nara misla taqarub al-qulub. We have not seen anything as beneficial as what? Taqarub al-qulub. That hearts are together. You want to say to somebody, wallahi, I have missed you. Say, wallahi, I have missed you more. Your brother, your son, your friend, even your wife, you are away in a distance. Perhaps you travel or they travel. You want to see, how have you been? Wallahi, it's been a while. I just want to see you. Say, no, I want to see you too. Why? Because your hearts, your minds are connected together out of affection for yourselves. Because of what? Because of Iman. The last report here in this chapter, that occurs as Hadith 263. I think we can quickly take that hadith before we call it a day today. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Farwa ibn Abi al-Maghra, qala haddathana al-Qasim ibn Malik, an Abdullah ibn Awun, an Umair ibn Ishaq, qala, kunna natahaddathu, inna awwala ma yurfa'u min al-Nas al-Ulfa, kunna natahaddathu, إن أول ما يرفع من الناس الألفة. الإمام البخاري reported from his شيخ فروة بن أبي المغرى. He said حدثنا القاسم بن مالك عن عبد الله بن عون. الإمام عبد الله بن عون was a well-known person amongst the scholars of Islam. عبد الله بن عون. He is reporting from عمير بن إسحاق, who said that كنا نتحدث. Umair ibn Ishaq, of course, and the Tabaqa, in the level of the Tabi'un. He was from amongst the Tabi'un, Umair ibn Ishaq. He said, Kunna natahaddasu. We used to discuss, meaning that the Tabi'un, one common thing amongst the Tabi'un in their discussions is that, Inna awwala ma yurfa'u minan nas al-ulfa. Inna awwala ma yurfa'u min al-nas al-ulfa. The first thing that will be taken away from amongst the people is what? Al-ulfa, friendliness. The first thing that will be taken away from the people is friendliness. This asar is weak. This asar is weak, it's da'if. But it resembles a hadith that is authentic, that has been reported by Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, from the signs of the last hour. Hudhayfa reported that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, wa yulqa bayna al-nas at-tanakur, yulqa bayna al-nas at-tanakur. At-tanakur is mutual disconnection. He does not want to have anything to do with him. He also does not want to have anything to do with him. She does not want to have anything to do with her. She also does not want to have anything to do with her. Parties do not want to have anything to do with themselves. They don't want to have anything to do with themselves. And Umar said, radiallahu anhu, when they do, it is only for worldly benefits. When they have anything to do with themselves, It is just about worldly benefits. Remove worldly benefits, you will not find people, Muslims, having to do with that. The Sana quote, mutual hatred, mutual disconnection. So he says one thing. He said, no, that's not what he said. He wanted to say, this is what you mean, my friend. Why do you want to tell us what he means rather than what he has said? Why do you want to say what he means rather than what he has said? Isn't there a huge difference between what a person has said and what he means? Would you not need access into his heart to know what he means? How do you begin to deduce what he means from what he has said, and you leave aside the clarity in what he has said? Why? So these kinds of things have been brought about because there is no friendliness, because there is no affection, because there is no mutual understanding amongst the people. So if we want to live together as people of Iman, that's why I usually say this. Most of the quarrels that happen even on social media is because of at-tanaku, mutual disconnection. In the hearts of the people, they are disconnected. You are just seeing friends, ikhwanu alaniya. You are just seeing friends in the open. The people are really nursing hatred amongst themselves. And I think we all need to go back to the drawing board. Everybody, you need to go back to the drawing board to check your hearts again. Why should you have a tanakur? Why should you have a disaffection? Why should you have an innate disconnection? Something inside, deep down your mind. You just hate one brother. You just hate one sister. You just hate one ustaz. You just, when you ask him, ustaz so-so-so has a class today. Say, no, I don't just that. Ustaz so-so-so has a posting on Facebook. So I just don't like that ustaz. What has he done to you? This tanakur, just know it. It is from the signs of the last hour. And it is from the show of weak iman. From the show of weak iman is this tanakur amongst the people of iman. May Allah protect us. I think it will be sufficient to stop here, the iznillah, under Babul Ulfa, the chapter about mutual connection, the chapter about friendliness, the chapter about inclination towards ourselves as Muslims, deep down inside our hearts. In the first hadith, there is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that inna ruha al-mu'minin la yaltaqiyan. Certainly, inna ruha al-mu'mine, the soul of two Muslims, la yaltaqiyan, they will meet, they will connect, fi masirati yawmi, over the period of a day's journey, the time that it takes to go on a day's journey, that period, their hearts are together. So you can say for 1 hour, their hearts have been together. For 2 hours, their hearts have been together. They've been thinking about themselves. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa ma ra'a ahaduhuma sahibahu. And no one amongst the two of them saw the other one. He did not see his brother, but his mind is just connected to him. May Allah make us from amongst those whose hearts will be connected to the people of Iman. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, Abu al-Abbas, the author of Al-Mufhim, which was the Sharh of Sahih Muslim, he said, when your heart has this connection from the people of Iman, check your heart. It's from the symbols of weak faith, weak Iman. From the symbols of weak Iman, Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, Abu al-Faraj, he also made this assertion, Ibn al-Jawzi. So when your heart becomes disconnected from the people of Iman, this person is a person of Iman. We do not know him for any other than that. Sound Islam, sound Iman. Yes, inside your heart, you not say hate for him. Just check it. Your Iman has problems. Your Iman has problems. Your faith has problems. Your Islam has problems. That's why you have some sort of a disconnection in your heart for the people of Iman. Otherwise, on the other hand, from the things that show the Iman of an individual is that they have affection. They love the people of Iman. They have affection for the people of Iman. And the people of Iman have affection for them too because of Iman. So when there is this mutual love, mutual affection, mutual connection, mutual inclination towards one another because of Iman, that is from the symbols of a healthy Muslim community that is based upon Iman. I beg Allah to make us understand better than we have tried to explain. If we have one or two questions that we can attend to, inshallah, we can attend to them, Bismillah, by Yusuf. Abba Yusuf.
Jazakumullah khairan.
Amin wa antum abba amir.
Ahsan Allah alaikum.
Amin wa iyakum.
Unfortunately, Abu Yusuf, I think he has issues with the network.
There's no problem. That was a heavy rain in Oshogbo yesterday. Oh. So it should have been affecting connections.
So this one reads, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
How do we differentiate the influence of Shaytan from dreams? How do we get to know the people we see in dreams are real and not Shaytan?
Well, from the ways we know, one of the ways to know that the people we see in our dreams are real and are not Shaytan, the people we know, the people we have affection to, is Shaytan will invite you to sin. Shaytan, you know somebody to be a person of Iman, you were together and he passes away. 2 days ago, a sister was said to have passed away. May Allah forgive that sister. This sister was had supposed to be a nice person. May Allah forgive her, whatever shortcomings she may have, and multiply her the rewards for her good deeds. Now you begin to see her in your dream, inviting you to sin, telling you, oh sister, please go and start working in a brewery, for example, to declare to you that this is Shaitan. This sister or this brother, or you know a brother to be a person who read the Quran, he taught the Quran. Nothing is known with him except goodness. You see him in your dream and he begins to tell you, oh, please, stop this tafsir Quran. Go and start playing football. Go and be a footballer. Say, oh, this is Shaitan. This brother is not likely to say this. He's not likely to say this because he was not upon this till he passed away. So from the symbols of seeing Shaitan in the dream is, he invites the people to things of disobedience to Allah. The second thing is that he can bring about scare. When you find in a dream, a brother has a wife who passes away, that wife begins to run around with him with an axe in the dream. A wife that they were upon love and goodness before she died. They were upon mutual understanding before she died. She now comes and begins to carry an axe or begins to flog him in his dream. So these kinds of things would indicate that perhaps this is Shaitan coming in the future of that man or that woman. I hope that it is clear about Amir. There will be an indication from the things that is known with Shaitan. From that is scaring the Muslims. From that is inviting them to things that are known clearly from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah to be unlawful. Imagine that you see your mother in a dream. You love your mother so much. She now says, go and drop a black cat at a T-junction. Just know that that's not your mother. If she was a person of Iman and faith, that you knew this, my mother was not a person of other than Iman. She was a person of Iman. She observed her salah. She was regular with her askar. She was a person who gave a lot of charity and all of this. This is what you know of her. Then you see her in a dream telling you to go and look for a black cat. Most probably that is Shaitan. Because from the deeds of Shaitan is to Ya'murukum Bil Fahsha. He invites the people onto indecency. So when you find a person of decency in a dream inviting you onto indecency, it is from the symbol that probably that is from Shaitan. The second thing is scare. He can bring a thing to scare you, to make you become afraid. It is also from the ways of Shaitan. Allah says, Inna Shaitan yukhawifukum aw yukhawifu awliya'a. Shaitan brings you to fear his soldiers, his friends. Allah says, فَلَا تَخَافُهُمْ وَخَافُونَ. So don't be afraid of them. You should rather be consciously fearful of me. So those are two major things by which we may denote that what we have seen in the dream was shaitan rather than our brother who was a person of iman. Allahu a'lam.
Amin
wa antum abu amir.
This honorable, Allah preserves Abu Nasr.
And
the opposite sex like themselves upon iman.
Can the people, a male like a female upon iman, and vice versa? The ulama say yes, we can find that. You can find that upon iman. So there's no fahisha connected to it. No fahisha, because it is upon iman. And fahisha is not from the deeds of iman. Fahisha is not from the deeds of iman. Indecency is not from the deeds of iman. If it is about indecency, then it's not upon iman. But if it is upon iman, yes, you can find a male loving a female and vice versa upon iman. One example of that you would find was Umm Sulaym and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu. Umm Sulaym loved the Prophet so much. The mother of Anas ibn Malik. It was upon iman. It was upon iman. Nothing else upon, except upon iman. So the love you find for the female companions that they had for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, apart from the love that his wives had for him as a wife would love her husband, they were all upon iman. They were all upon iman. So it's possible. A woman would like Al-Imam Al-Albani, for example, say, this imam, I like Al-Albani. Why? The person of iman. He was a person who was distinguishing between what is in the sunnah and what is not in the sunnah. So he made us to have our deen pure, clean, clear. Rahimahullah. We love him for this. So you can love a man for that. You can love the daughter of Sheikh Mukbil Al-Wadi, Umm Abdillah, who was a very learned person from the women of our own times. She wrote a lot of books, from the books of hadith, books of fiqh. One of the daughters of Al-Imam Al-Albani wrote the Muqaddima in some of his works. That was who? Unaysa, radiallahu anha, rahimahullah, because she's still alive. So there are people like this. Yes, they were women, but you love them. You love them for no other than for the aspects of iman. No indecency is connected. Yes, a male can love a female, and a female can love a male upon iman. And there is no any other than that in the matter. Allahu Akbar. We can have that, Abu Amr.
Ameen
wa antum.
This one reads, is it okay to tell people about dreams we had? And combining that, another one with, can we narrate our dreams to a scholar if we think he can guide us?
Yes, there are a lot of that. I hope that this Ramadan will find a means of discussing dreams in Islam. And I encourage brothers upon different platforms to open up discussions about dreams in Islam. It's a major aspect of the knowledge of this deen that we have set aside. Dreams. Dreams. There are a lot of books that the Ummah has compiled about dreams. In the Quran, a whole surah to Yusuf is based on dreams. Dreams. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to ask his companions after Fajr, who has a dream to tell us? After Asr, who has a dream to tell us? And they would tell him alayhi salatu wa sallam their dreams, and he would interpret their dreams. So just like with other aspects of Islamic knowledge. Not every scholar who is versed in the religion is versed in the aspects of dream interpretation. You may find a person who is versed in the sciences of the Quran, but he's not versed in the sciences of dreams, understanding dreams, and the interpretation of dreams. This is another knowledge altogether. But it is from the knowledge of the Sunnah, because if you go to Sahih al-Bukhari, you see the book of dreams. Sahih Muslim, books on dreams. Kutub al-Sunan, Kitab al-Ahlam. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar has an entire book on this. Al-Ahlam, Al-Adawi al-Kitab wa-Sunnah. Dreams according to the Quran and the Sunnah. There are a lot of books that have been written. Sheikh Mashur Hassan al-Salman, he has a big volume, over 1,800 pages about dreams. Sheikh Eid al-Kayal, he has one of our teachers in Misr. He has a huge book, huge compilation about dreams. The early Muslims have written a lot of books about dreams. I have encouraged the brother also to write about dreams, and we can cooperate upon it to get this book out. Many of us, we don't know about dreams again. From the Sunnah of dreams is what Abu Amir has asked about. From the Sunnah of dreams is that you ask the learned power person about the dreams. What does this dream mean? But from the Sunnah of dreams is that if the dream was a nightmare, was a dream that was hard, was tough, in it you were flogged, you were beaten, you were harassed, and all of this, don't narrate the dreams. The Sunnah is that you speak thrice towards your left 3 times, and on each of them, you say what? Bi-isti'adha, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. So if it is from this type of a dream now, you don't say that. But others, the dream may not be clear. Abdullah ibn Umar, the hadith occurs in Bukhari and Muslim, under the book of dreams. He was saying, I want to know how I am. So he slept. He said, at that time, I was a young boy. I used to sleep in the masjid. So he had a dream, radiallahu anhuma, that he was handled by 2 angels on the right and on the left, and he was taken into the fire to see the people in the fire. He said, but and I saw people that I know inside, people that I could recognize. I saw them in the fire. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. So when I got to the fire, I was taken by 2 angels, one on my right, one on the left. They carried me, were going into the fire. So they were showing me some people. I recognize this one. I know this one. I know this one. But he didn't mention their names. He said, I saw them in the fire. Of course, those will be from amongst the mushrikun in Makkah. So I recognized them. But he didn't mention their names. He said, then I was scared. The third angel came to me and said, don't worry, after now you will not be scared again. And then he came out, he was brought out, and the like of that. And he went to narrate that dream to Hafsa, so that Hafsa would narrate it to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted the dream to Abdullah ibn Umar. He says, Abdullah ibn Umar rajul. Abdullah ibn Umar rajulun salih. He is a righteous person. But he should keep to Qiyamul Layl. He should keep to Qiyamul Layl. The Prophet just told him, keep to Qiyamul Layl. Observe prayers in the night. And it was said that he never stopped observing Qiyamul Layl from that day. So he needed to be observing Qiyamul Layl. The Prophet interpreted the dream. The point here is that if you have a dream, look for a learned person upon the Sunnah who is knowledgeable regarding the issues of the dream. Tell him the dream. If it is clear to him on the spot, he will tell you on the spot. If it is not clear to him on the spot, he may not be able to say on the spot. He will be thinking about it until Allah guides him to a meaning of the dream. If he will not tell you the meaning of the dream, he will only tell you what to do. He also tells you what to do. But don't forget, it must be a person of Sunnah who is well-grounded, because dreams have qawaid, they have rules, they have dawabit, they have guidelines in the Sunnah. Except that many of our young people now are not busy learning the various aspects of the deen. They are busy quarreling and fighting. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So Abu Amir, back to the question directly, yes, a person who has a dream can approach another person who has great knowledge about dreams and their interpretations and explain the dreams to him, and then they will get interpretations for the dream, bismillah. I hope that it is clear, Abu Amr.
No, I'm your Sheikh. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah khair. There's an issue here, Abu Amr.
No, go ahead.
He says, Assalamu alaikum, jazakumullah khair. Ameen wa antum. Please, let's have a class for question and answers. People are worried for not getting answers to their questions. I think perhaps we can set out tomorrow for that, Abu Amr. We can compile the questions we have that we were not able to provide answers for. And then we can, bismillah, try to find answers to them, inshallah.
Inshallah.
I hope that it is clear, Abu Amr. You can get the questions put together. and then we can come back to them, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Ameen wa antum. Bismillah, we'll come back. There's a question someone's talking about, a husband. Assalamu alaikum. If a marriage is devoid of mutual love and understanding, simply because the husband believes that showing love and understanding degrades him, he avoids communication. He goes out without telling his wife his whereabouts. He believes a woman must be punished for any mistakes. He does not listen to explanations. No love, no mercy, no tranquility. Is it not enough reason to quit the marriage, as the wife has already developed hatred? She doesn't like to see him, let alone speaking with him. I forget to say that he doesn't listen to people. He said whatever he says is a command from Allah, and nobody can change his decision. Involving people is like putting salt on injury. Please, I need advice. Inna will respond to this question specifically. Perhaps you can start with it in the class tomorrow, inshallah. Aba Amir, please note it. Can we call it the day today? It's already 8 o'clock.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.